Woo! Welcome, welcome, welcome. You may be seated just for a minute, kind of wondering what's going on anyway. You're looking around saying, wait, we're missing something up here. So I just wanted to give you just some instructions this morning where we're going. And we have a special group coming in, a special one of our favorite song leaders that we listen to on CD that's been going on is Steve Swanson. And so Steve Swanson, those who are connect and been around, there's songs that we're familiar with because Amy, Pastor Amy's led us and our worship team knows them. But it leads us into the presence of God. And so you connect well with CDs. We haven't done this in quite a long time, so it's a little different, but you're a congregation that connects well with CDs because it's not about who's on the platform. It's about who we're singing our worship to. So it's where we get our focus. We get our focus off of natural things and we get our focus on things above. And so we're adding a different dimension of this morning, and we appreciate Prophet Susie and Amy coordinating some of the songs, because we'll share with you a little bit more this morning, because we've shared more this week than we probably have in a long time about any service, what God is saying, and a lot of confirmation that came from all four of us, Apostle Linda and Prophet Susie and Pastor Amy. We don't usually share in the week, and it's amazing how Holy Spirit orchestrates, but this week, just a lot of confirmation coming out of last week and vision, and so we'll be sharing that vision, and but I want to just set the atmosphere for worship, and then I'm going to have Apostle Linda come, because it's on the same line, because worship is really about who we're worshiping, not about us, and it gets our eyes off of ourselves and on Him. And it's not who's leading the worship. It's not how good the team is, how tight they are. It's about those that know how to worship in spirit and in truth. And you're that congregation. That's why CDs, and I think of the time we had the regional house of prayer, and we would coordinate our worship times almost all off CDs. And CDs are good if they're expressing what God is speaking now. And so there's some now songs. And so we get our eyes off of ourselves, off of what's going on in front here, and our eyes on heaven. And we get to join in with, I believe, the dimension of heaven coming to earth. So I want to share with you this morning just a little bit, give you first a brief update, manifestation. I talked about manifestations last week, and Rigo, our dog, was pregnant, but being pregnant is not the manifestation of the puppies. And I want to tell you, even the manifestation of the puppies isn't that it's done. We found that out this week. Women that, you know, are up all night with the babies, be up all night with nine babies. And so we had the manifestation of puppies, but now in the next 8 weeks is the growth of these puppies, and they'll be ready to go and be with whoever wants to pick them up. But so the manifestation, and so we can't be settled with, you know, we experienced God. The manifestation is not the fullness of God. The manifestation is our direction of going into the fullness of God. And so I'm so excited about this morning. I'm just trying to get you all in on the same thing. So I'll read a scripture to you out of 1 Corinthians. You can just listen to it if you want to turn. It is out of the New American Standard, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to listen. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? As we sing these songs, and one of them we get into it and press, do you not know? If you don't know that you're the temple of God, God's not building a temple that He's going to house in the natural. He's building one in the spiritual, and it includes you and me. We are the house of God. Right. Do you not know? He asks the question. And if you don't know that this morning, I'm praying that you'll have that encounter with God, that you'll realize that God dwells on the inside of you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you get that revelation, whoa, it changes your whole perspective. But even that revelation isn't the fullness of God. It's a manifestation, a revealing of God. But until Jesus comes in His fullness, and there's just a whole bunch of scriptures we're going to, you know, I could preach right now, but I'm going to pull back. Do you not know? So let me ask this question, and we want more to be catching this revelation. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So not only are you the temple of God, but the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, dwells in you now.
Yes.
Maybe not the fullness, but He dwells in you now. And He's revealing Jesus. And the more that Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, the more of the Spirit of God we have dwelling and living on the inside of us. So do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you now? So you are now the temple. It's not something in the future, but you are, when you get born again, receive Jesus as Lord of your life, then you become the temple, and He's now furnishing His house with Holy Spirit, revealing Jesus to us and manifesting in us. So it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So the third thing is, know you not that you are the temple of God and that Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you are holy in Him.
Amen.
You're not going to be any more holy than the day you get born again. You're holy in Him. Woo! I mean, you are the temple of God. Holy Spirit does dwell in you, and you are holy now, and let no man deceive himself. So we don't want to be deceived. We want to know that now the fullness of God is manifesting. This is the time we're living in. It's the greatest hour of the church. And we can't hang on to the past. We bring the past with us into the now. And we're moving forward into the fullness of God. So I want to say, before we pray and Pastor Linda comes and shares the scripture, because it's Spirit calling on to Spirit, deep on to deep, the deep within. Let me give you another scripture just popped in. These scriptures that pop in. James chapter 4 says this, draw near to God and He will draw close to you. Who does the initiation? It's not God. You can pray for God to have an experience, but He's saying if you draw near to Him, you make the choice, and then He draws close to you. He comes closer than you expect. So it's deep crying out deep. It's your spirit crying out. We want more. We're here this morning to experience Him. We're not here just to have another nice service. If you want a nice service, you can go on YouTube. But we're here to have an encounter with God, amen, His presence. And so, know ye not that you are now the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you are now holy because He dwells in you, and He is holy, and so you're holy even as He is. So let's let Apostle Linda come to share scripture, and then we're going into worship.
I think Pastor Bob has already shared the aspect of this, but as I was reading this week in Psalm 130, the very first verse says, out of the depths I've cried to you, Lord, out of the depths. And He kept holding me on that scripture, out of the depths of my being I cry to you, out of the depths of who I am. Think of how that works in your life. How do you step into that place where you say, I am crying out to you out of the depths of my being? That the very depths of my being, from my spirit, I am connecting to the Holy Spirit. I'm connecting to you out of the very depths of my being, not outwardly like, oh, I'm looking for you, Lord, but from who I am. In the reality, the fullness, the completeness of who I am, I'm reaching out and touching you, Lord, in the fullness of who you are. And I'm finding myself drawn to that place, captivated by you, and just finding myself drawn into you, Lord. From the depths of who I am, I'm drawn into the depths of who you are. You're not hard to get. You're not hard to find. Lord, you're close to me, but I step into that place. I don't just stand aside and look, but I, with all the passion of my being, with all the desire and intensity of who I am, from the very depths and completeness of who I am, I step into who you are to have a new encounter with you, a place of relationship with you, a place of seeing and hearing you. Because the Lord tells us this in the psalm that he said, out of the depths I've cried to you and you hear my voice. In other words, God said, if we come to that place, if the depths of who we are is reaching out to the depths of him, he's responding to us. He is quick to respond to that place and give himself from himself into us that we might merge together and become the one that he called us to be. So Lord, even today, out of the depths of who we are, out of that place, we don't stand kind of half-heartedly or stand kind of partially in this place. No, Lord, we stir ourselves up that from the very depths of our being, we hunger for more of you. From the very depths of our being, we look to you with a certainty, with a hope that is a sure expectation that you respond to our hunger. You respond to our desire. You respond to our need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're quick to come to that place with us as we are quick to move. With the more we intently press into you, you respond with greater intensity to us. You match our hunger, Lord, and then increase it by satisfying us with that place of knowing you are touching us and we are touching you. Stand up and just let draw on him. Don't be a spectator this morning. Be engaged, be engaged. He said, engage yourself and be surprised with the intensity that I respond to you. Rosha de Boso.
A sound in the distance of a nation coming to birth, a generation watching and waiting to see God's kingdom coming to earth. And their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb of God. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. I hear a voice in the desert. It's the sound of freedom's cry. A generation of those who seek him, the sons and daughters of the Most High. And their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb.
generation coming to birth, a generation contrite in spirit, a holy people armed with God's word. And their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb of God, the Holy One. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. So make a highway for our God and open up the everlasting doors. And let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory come in.
a name I know above all other. A name so.
Okay, I'll let you go back to that first song, because as it opens up, a nation is being birthed. It's a nation called the Kingdom of God. If you're born again, you're birthing a nation. The reset that's going on is greater than the global and the nations. It's the nation of God, the Kingdom of God, and it's about Zion. We are Zion. Zion is the spiritual house of God. And so it starts off telling about a nation being birthed in a day, and God is birthing the Kingdom of God. We transitioned from the church age into the kingdom age at some time this past 3 or 4 years. But we're in the third day. We're in the seventh day. We're in that. So we're birthing a nation as we sing. And Zion sing. That's you. You're Zion. You're the spiritual house of God. So we ready? Can we do that one? Wait.
And it says rejoice, rejoice. Come on now. I've seen greater rejoicing than this before. So I know it's in you. Is there something you've been delivered of? Is there some way that you know God has touched your life, moved in your life? Is there some place you're moving to? Because he delivers us from something into something. And as we rejoice, we get established in the in something that he's put us into, a place, a greater place of his fullness in us. We step into that place. And so we do it with rejoicing. You can't go into such a place like that without a sense of saying, whoa, this is amazing. This is awesome. Let's let the awe, the wonder, and the thanksgiving arise as we rejoice in him.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes. Yes, we declare this, Lord. We release it.
In the distance of a nation coming to birth, a generation watching and waiting to see God's kingdom coming to earth. And their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb of God. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. I hear a voice in the desert. It's the sound of freedom's cry. A generation of those who seek him, sons and daughters of the Most High, and their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb of God, the Holy One. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. The Lord is good.
generation coming to birth, a generation contrite in spirit, a holy people armed with God's word. And their song is sung to the worthy one, to the Lamb of God, the Holy One. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. So make a highway for our God, and open up the everlasting doors. And let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory come in. We'll be right back.
Yes, so, my sons and daughters, I have ordained you and set you aside for this hour. And as I have put myself within you, I've put my spirit within you, I've put my word within you, and I have ordained you to be a doer of my word. And have I not said that I have no pleasure in those who draw back? You will say, well, I want to bring him pleasure. Well, give yourself to what I'm doing on the inside of you. Hear what I'm saying on the inside of you and push out the doubt, the fear, and the unbelief that will hold you back. Yes. Now, there are some who will not go with you. Do not delay and wait on them, but keep moving because you love me. And as you make the highway plain and forward to by doing of my word, the highway will be plain. I am not making the highway. I've given you the resources to make the highway for me. So as you do that, you will see it increase even more around you, through you, with you, and for you. For this is the hour that I have ordained for you to move forward. No more can you just sing the songs and get excited and go back home and do as you do. No, says the Spirit of the living God. You stir yourself up where you at when you see what I'm doing and when you hear what I'm saying and you begin to see my manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth.
And last Sunday when we were in worship, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw a door right over the top of us here as we were worshiping. But the door was closed, but that was okay that the door was closed. And I asked the Holy Spirit, well, what is this door about? And he said that it was about a face-to-face encounter. Not individually, but corporately, the Lord was to open that door and then encounter us in a way, face-to-face, that will be so dramatic in our spirits that it will impact every fiber of our being. And as I contemplated on this during the week, I remembered that for years, people have had visions when they come to Harvest. Sometimes people that have been at Harvest a long time, but sometimes even visitors, they will have visions, and what they see is the same thing every time. They see people laid out all over the place. They see people face down in worship to the Lord. And that even in the parking lot, there's people that come in late and they drive up, and as they get out of their cars, they just fall on their face because there's like this face-to-face encounter with the Lord, because his manifest presence is so incredible, it's so tangible, and it's so real. And so, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that there is a moment in time, Lord, that door will open. And Lord, even as Apostle Bob already said this morning, Lord, we are hungry. Lord, we are people that will go deeper. We are your holy nation. We are the nation that is coming to birth. You've put it in our hearts. You've put it in our DNA. So we respond to you, Holy Spirit. We respond to your presence. And we open ourselves up wide. And we say that you are welcome in our hearts in a new way, Lord God. We are not afraid, and we will not shut it down, but Lord, take us where we've not been. We trust in you.
Okay. Yes, we are that door. We are that door. And when Prophet Susie shared that with me, I respond real quick, because this week I heard the Lord say, it's time that we move to face-to-face encounter. And we're going to talk about that. Face-to-face is different than just going in. And we sang that song last week that's just been vibrating on the inside of me. What was that? It was just vibrating on the inside of me that... No, the one, I'm sorry, no, the one that, I'm focused on you, totally. You have all my attention. And he says, let me see if I have all your attention. He says, for when you come into that secret place in that inner court, you come in with your cell phones, you come in with your Bibles, you come in with your notepads, you come in with your coffee cups. Do I really have all your attention? That we're moving into this new time, that it's going to be a face-to-face encounter. And in that face-to-face encounter, we open the door, but it's face-to-face to him. We see into his eyes, and his eyes are like fire. that burn like the bright shining sun. And so that confirmation just came this week, and that's what stirred up where we are this morning, because we believe that door is there, and it's not individually. No one individual is going to open that door. It's a corporateness. Each one of us coming in, we open the door of our heart. We do our part, but then the manifestation is the glory comes through that door, because together we are the glory of God, and it's time that we manifest His glory in the earth. So lift your hands, and we're going to just worship, but experience. Father, we come to experience an encounter with a face-to-face encounter with Jesus this morning. We thank you, Father, that we open the doors of our heart. We are the door that you are looking, the door of your temple. And you said that you would fill us, Father, as we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We will be filled. So this morning, Father, as we press into worship, as we get our eyes off of ourselves, off our circumstances, and we thank you, Father, that you have our full attention. Our full attention as we encounter you. Face to face, eyes to eyes. We look into your eyes, Lord, and we see the fire of God burning with passion for his bride. And we thank you that as we encounter Jesus this morning, that face to face encounter, we are being transformed into that image, into the likeness of Jesus and all that he is. So we thank you this morning that as we lift up our worship unto you, unto Jesus, the King of glory and King of Kings, and we acknowledge you this morning, Jesus, face to face. We thank you. We open the doors of our heart, Lord, and we thank you. We say, swing wide our doors right now, Lord. Swing them wide and open as we praise you and worship you this morning. So we thank you right now. Come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come, take us deeper into the inner court.
There is a name I know above all other, a name so wonderful, Jesus, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord of all, Jesus. You're the Lamb of God who is worthy, the name above all names that is holy. You're the King of Kings who is righteous, Jesus Christ. You're the Lamb of God who is worthy, the name above all names that is holy. You're the King of Kings who is righteous, Jesus Christ. For sin was crucified to give eternal life, that I would never die, Jesus. By your abounding grace, my soul forever saved, to you the worthy.
authority in all of heaven. I have the victory, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now my worship flows unto your holy throne, so that your name
it's fair. spilling this tale. It's spilling this tale. Awaken our spirit, Lord, and fill our tent. Filling this tent. Just lift your hands today and receive the glory of the Lord. It's filling your tent. It's filling your temple. That's it, just receive. It's filling your temple. It's filling your temple. You're shining, 'cause he's filling your temple.
I have a word from the Lord for a lot of us. For many of us have a hole in our heart.
Let your glory come, Lord. Holy Spirit.
Many of you have been standing in the gap for a family member, waiting for them to come home. Some of you have viewed this chasm between them and the Lord as a hopeless crossing. I believe the Lord says to those of us in those circumstances to open up our imagination to the possibility that my word is true for your family. Will you have the courage to believe in my word that for those that you have deemed lost, for those that you have deemed hopeless, will you have the courage to believe that my word is powerful enough to bring them home? As we enter this season of thanksgiving and praise, I know that many of my children are hurting, for they carry this burden for their family members. And the Lord would say unto us, believe. Believe. Never give up hope. Never fall into that trap that they are lost for eternity. For am I not powerful enough to bring them home? If I have created the heavens and the earth, I can certainly bring them home. The Lord says, don't fall into hopelessness. Stand erect. Be stout in your belief, regardless of what the surrounding circumstances may look like. But God.
Yes. And I heard the Lord say, lift up your eyes. Just like the father lifted up his eyes and saw the prodigal son. And Father, we say to those prodigals right now that are running from you, let them come to their senses right now. That this is an hour they have an encounter, Father, and they come to their right mind. And we thank you that as they come to their senses and they turn, we thank you, Father, that we open our arms wide as the family members, as the body of Christ. And we see, so we see right now them turning, we see them running back, And Father, we thank you that we embrace them and we restore them back to the Father. We restore them back to the Father's family. Restore them back, Father, in the name of Jesus. We place, Father, on their feet right now, those sandals, those, Father, that their feet are prepared with the gospel and preparation of the gospel. We thank you right now. They put that ring, Father, of authority back on in the name of Jesus. And we put on them the robe of righteousness in the Spirit. And we thank you right now for full restoration. That, Father, as they turn and as they come, Father, we thank you a quick work. Even in their coming, you're transforming them. That they'll have many encounters on their way back. They'll have many experiences. That when, Father, they come back, they're coming back, Father, with a new identity. They're coming back with a new, Father, vision, a new hope right now. So we declare as we pray and lift up those loved ones right now. We lift up those that, Father, are running from you in our realm of influence, our neighbors right now, those on in the workplace, in the schools. We call them in right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we see them turning. And Father, we pray for Israel at this time. And we thank you, Father, that, Father, oh, your heart is reaching to them and you're restoring Israel even in the midst of, Father, war, in the midst of their circumstances, that you're causing them to turn back. They're causing them to come back to physical Israel right now. But those in Israel right now, Father, are laying down their differences and they're turning their eyes and looking, Father, for the true Messiah. And we thank you as they turn to you, their eyes are being opened. And they're being brought into that relationship with Jesus Christ. That, Father, we thank you right now for the gathering of the harvest. We lift up our eyes and we call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we thank you right now, Father, that the harvest is truly great and ready. But, Father, the labors are few. So we join the labor force. We join those, Father, that are crying out. That, Father, we thank you right now for empowering us right now with favor and grace. We pray for a boldness in our lives that during this week, that as we gather, Father, around that table in celebration, I pray for a boldness to declare the name of Jesus right now. I declare right now an opportunity for everyone. Maybe it's just praying, Father, over the food, but Father, as they pray and welcome your presence, that Father, those that are in our houses are going to experience Jesus in a fresh and new way, that they can't run from you, Father, and Father, they surrender and run to you. And we thank you right now, Father, for the harvest this week. And Father, not only this week, but moving into what we celebrate as the holiday seasons, we thank you right now that the harvest is ripe right now. And so we call them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes.
Yes. Feeling this temple. Just lift your hands today and receive the glory of the Lord. It's filling your temple. It's filling your temple. That's it, just receive. It's filling your temple. It's filling your temple. You're shining, cause he's filling your temple. He's filling your temple. Say, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Overflow. Let your glory come, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill these temples.
As I was praying or worshiping a couple weeks ago, I felt like the Lord shared two scriptures with me. And the first one is where the disciples were in the room praying. And it says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It was literally the physical ground that was shaken. And not only that, but the spiritual ground as well. And the other verse was Acts 16:25, where it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." I felt like the Lord was saying that as you worship me, as you praise me, not only will your chains be broken, but the chains of those around you. I will shake the physical ground. I will shake not only this church, not only this community, but this nation, the world, as you worship me and focus your attention and praise on me.
Yes. Yes.
To the heavens.
Yes.
And I hear the Lord saying that this is the season to clean house. If your heart has felt heavy, it's because there's not room for the world and me in there. Release that. Unpack those boxes and send them out, never to come home. Because now my home has become made manifest in your hearts. Let my glory overwhelm every inch of you. Don't leave here feeling heavy. Release those boxes. Send them far away because you don't need them anymore. There's not space for both them and me. Release them. Allow my lightness to lift you up so that you don't just walk, but you fly amongst men. Allow my glory to fill you. Receive more of my sonship. Receive more of my daughtership. Receive more of who I've made you to be. Receive me. Receive me more fully. Be light, my children. For you are called to be light in more ways than one.
Yes, 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 yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. As you're being seated, let me read the scripture and refresh you. I know you know it. You've heard it many times if you've been coming here. But Isaiah chapter 60, we're entering into, I believe, a moment. We've been praying into this for years and decades, but Isaiah 60, now we're on the verge of seeing the manifestation and the fullness come into it. So let me read this and declare that with the last word about the glory. And we've heard several things on glory this morning, but the glory and looking into his face is really looking into the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the fullness of Jesus. So when you look in his face, you're being transformed into the same glory, the same image, the same likeness. So I'm not going to preach on that, but I want to give this scripture. Listen to what it says, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. If you're born again, you receive Jesus, your light has already come. It may be flickering, it may be dim, it may be not very bright, but I want to tell you, if you receive Jesus, your light has already come. The revelation of what you're looking for, the truth that you're looking for, is already there. It's in Jesus. He is the light. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And so, in the life, in the light. So it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's not coming. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So the light of God has come, and the glory of the Lord has come, the light, but his glory has already risen on you. Oh my goodness. It's waiting to manifest in you and through you, but his light has already come. Listen to this, because it gets better. I hadn't put all this together until I just opened it up this morning. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. It sounds like the time we're living in. He already told us what's going to happen in the earth, but he's telling us what's happening in his kingdom. We've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The church has been praying that for 2,000 years when Jesus initiated, said, pray this way, pray my kingdom come. We happen to be 2,000 years ahead of when they started praying that, and so that means we're closer to the fulfillment of it.
Amen.
And his kingdom coming is, it is the kingdom of light. It is Jesus. But look what it says, behold, darkness will cover. Not might, not maybe, darkness is here.
Yes. Yes.
It's your perspective, it's what you're looking at. Behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. Not only is darkness covering the earth, but man, it's covering people. When it covers people, they do crazy things that don't make any sense. They're out of their mind. They're not in their right mind. So don't, you know, get on them. They're doing what they know how to do. But look what it says. Deep darkness, the peoples, but God, the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you.
Yes.
Nations will come to your light.
Amen.
And the kings to the brightness of your rising. So lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar and your daughters will be carried in the arms.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That kind of summarizes all the prophetic words
yes.
this morning, doesn't it? Nations will come to you. Because of the glory of the Lord is already upon you.
Hallelujah.
It's waiting to manifest. That's what we're entering into. We've been in one, You know what the reset is? The reset is God's resetting his church. He's resetting his people, getting all tradition out, all religious activity out, so that he can come in his fullness. Because in the time when gross darkness covers the earth, and especially the people, so when you start to see that, there's another alternative. Choose you this day whom you serve. Many are standing in the valley of decision right now. Many are looking for truth. And what they're looking for is you and I to break out of what we've been experiencing and break out into the true glory of God. So, amen. Could send you home. There's a whole lot of things, but I got a whole lot more to tell you. So a couple announcements this week, and we're celebrating Thanksgiving, and be just celebrative and thank God for what he's doing. You know, it's easy to look what he's not doing, but look what he's already done, but think about what he wants to do and be thankful for that. Celebrate that with your families. There's great celebration yesterday. Someone says, you missed out. I said, I saw the plate of food that those that came in yesterday, and I said, it made me very hungry. They said, that's not the same as being here. And I said, that's right. Reading the word's not the same as eating and partaking of the word. You can observe from a distance and see the photographs of what God is doing and moving, or you can be a part of it, and it's different. Amen. And so yesterday you did a great job. It looked wonderful. The food looked good. And let's just thank Lauren, Amy, and Robin. They did a great job of putting that together, and all those that came. And there was plenty of food for more. I saw that table. It reminded me the table of the Lord is set. But he's filled that table, but few are coming to his table. Well, we won't prophesy into that. But great job yesterday. That was a great celebration moving into Thanksgiving. But not only that, but moving into the holiday season. So a lot's going to happen. A lot is changing right now. It's preparing us. We're in a preparation right now for entering in. The Jewish New Year has already started. They've already entered into the new year. We, on the secular calendar, are waiting for something to happen. But this is a preparation because we're moving in. We've never to where we've never been before. We've never been this way before. So he's shaking everything and be shaken out of us too, so that we can enter into this new, the glory of God. So anyhow, no services this week. There won't be any first fruit gathering here. We're letting the ladies gather and prepare for Thursday. There will be no biblical citizenship class. But let me tell you this, we got one class left. And let me give you a special invitation. If you haven't attended any of the biblical citizenship classes, we want you to come out and just whet your appetite, because we'll be playing it again in the first of the year, because they have changed the primaries here in Michigan to February 27th. They moved it up. This is early. This is kind of chaotic to get this in line. But you're getting to hear it. They just did that this last week. Prophet Susie was up there, and they just changed our primaries to February 27th. So the last class is what we need to be doing with what we've been learning. And all of us can participate. And the least that we do is beware of the time to vote. And then get out and vote. It's not enough to know to vote. You got to get out and vote. And then you got to know what's on the ballot and who the candidates are. So this last class, which will be a week from Wednesday, what's that, the 29th, I think? It's the 29th. It's the last class for biblical citizenship. We've gone through 8, and it's been powerful. I'm going to go through it again. Because, well, this last week, we may even show this last week sometime between January and February before we go to elections. This last week was on the First Amendment. And the First Amendment, if you don't understand the First Amendment, you don't understand why we're here, the freedom of religion. And it's not a separation of church and state. You need to understand. That's a lie they fed you. That's not in our Constitution. The freedom of religion. And so our freedoms are being taken away. And so in the First Amendment, one of the freedoms we have, and I like what he said, and I would try to, I tried to memorize the five things in the First Amendment. The first one is the freedom of religion. The second one is the freedom of the press, the freedom of media. Oh, freedom of assembly is second. Freedom of assembly is second. So church, we can't be shut down by the government. That's a falsehood that, you know, we're not a state religion in this nation. That's what they came out and got free out of. And we're not going to be put back into that. So freedom of assembly, freedom of press, freedom of media. And the last one is freedom of expression, demonstration, or you can petition You can make petitions to your House of Representatives, to your Senate, and that. So those are the five freedoms that we need to know. Not only know what they are, but how to, we can stand in force. That our Constitution stands behind your freedoms, yeah. And no one can take it away. And we need to know why. So we'll be doing that again in the spring because it's really good. And so those that are going through it, I know, are already saying, I need to go through it again. Those who have been through it second time are saying, I need to go again because it was like first time for me going through it. The second time I went, whoa, I didn't hear that. It's kind of like going through the Bible, you know, go through. But are we walking it? And we're living a critical time. I just thank Holy Spirit for initiating a biblical citizenship to us this year, not knowing where we would be at the end of this year and moving into the first part. So that's not going to meet this week. You get all this week off, and the next week hit the road running. We'll see you next Sunday. But we're going to dismiss the kids. We're going to pray over the offering. We'll give you opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing you and moving with you. And so we thank you that, Father, we thank you that you're building your house and your kingdom. And we thank you the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we thank you, Father, that, Father, we acknowledge you with our tithes. We acknowledge that you're Lord of our finances and you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so as we, Father, sow our tithes, we thank you. We're sowing into your kingdom. And we thank you as we give offerings into the breakthrough, Father. We give freely. We thank the offerings, Father, bring a return right now. So if we're looking for an increase in finances, we sow generously in offerings, Father, knowing that, Father, the tithe is yours, and we're to bring that into the storehouse of God. And we thank you, we bless you, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So, as the children are being dismissed, I know you can be dismissed up here. Some are hanging on to their children, and but they've been good this morning. I learned a few new steps up here. One of the young men was trying to teach Apostle Linda a new step, and he said he was telling her how to do it, and then he demonstrated it, and that was when I got lost. I shut my eyes, and you have all my attention, but in the worship, and boy, he had a good beat going with that, you know, and he was, the freedom of children and worship, to be free that way, amen. And so to be free is one thing, to be flexible enough is another thing, so we won't go there. In fact, there's a scripture, even though the outward man is progressively getting older, the inner man is being renewed. So we're being renewed in our inner man, those of us that aren't flexible. Well, let's get out of this. There's many ways of giving. You can give online, and we thank you for your giving, your generosity, and God is increasing our, not our mission, but he's bringing clarity to what our mission is here at Harvest Christian Church. So I want to just share a little bit with you on that, because last week, and I don't want to jump too fast, because last week we talked about manifestation, and I just started to touch on it, and the Lord kept stay in manifestation, because manifestation is the revealing of Jesus. One of the words for manifestation, in fact, in the New American Standard, it uses the word reveal. In the King James, it uses the word manifestation. It's the same word, Greek word. They mean the same thing, but all creation in Romans chapter 8 is waiting for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. So all creation is waiting for you and I. Not only to have Jesus revealed to us, so, and when he's revealed to us, it says in John chapter 3, you're born again, you see the kingdom. But it's one thing to see the kingdom, the next thing is to possess it. And in possessing it, you get filled with the Spirit and you start to govern your life and those around you. See, a lot of people are born again and they're going to heaven. That's great. And they see the kingdom, but they haven't learned how to possess it. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know the authority they have in Jesus. And so the enemy keeps you limited, and God's resources coming to you thinking that you're waiting for God to do something. And he says, I've already given you all authority. I've given you all authority in heaven and earth. Now you go and you make things happen. So it's one thing to see the kingdom. We need to be born again. That gets you into this operation. But being it, it's like going to the football game. There's many in the stadium, in the big house, there's a lot more in the stadium than there is on the field. And that's kind of how it is in the body of Christ. People get born again and they become spectators in the big house. And they watch those on the field.
Come on.
And he's saying it's time to get out of your seats.
Yeah.
It's time to get on the field.
Amen.
Because the harvest is great. So it's one thing to see the kingdom, get born again. It's another thing to possess the kingdom, get filled with the Spirit, start to exercise your authority. But it's nothing compared to the manifestation of the kingdom. What is the manifestation? It's the fullness of God exploding into the earth. And it starts with exploding on the inside of us.
Amen.
And so the manifestation, Holy Spirit, his job, and I like it this way, his job is sanctification. You get born again, that's salvation. Then he gives you Holy Spirit to sanctify you, to separate you from the things of the world, and manifest Jesus in you and who you are in Christ. That's Holy Spirit's job. But then he wants it not only to manifest in you, he wants it to manifest through you. So all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the glory of God to happen in you. They're not looking to go to church anymore. In fact, I heard years ago, probably two decades ago, that 80% of the world population will never set their foot in a church. It's probably stronger than that now. They're tired of church and religion. What are they looking for? They're not looking for good performance. Steve Swanson, I thank you for showing up this morning.
Amen.
Because and the reason that we pull on Steve Swanson, just some you say, well, I know other Steve Swanson's the only one we know that allows you to sing with his worship without being tagged by Facebook and taken off. You can't use their CDs. You can sing their songs. Some of them will let you sing their songs. But you can sing their songs, but you can't use their CDs to initiate worship. But we have some insight and longtime relationship, Prophet Susie and House of Prayer, that we got word that we can use Steve Swanson, and he has our DNA. I mean, there was times there I thought, wow, that's good instrumental. That I forgot. That was coming from the CD. And so thank Prophet Susie, thank the worship team, the tech team back there for coordinating and putting that together. And Pastor Amy for allowing that and hearing. She heard the Spirit of God had a dream this week too and lined up with that. And so we said, well, let's just do this. We'll have a backup. She was battling some things and she really wanted to be there yesterday. She said, I don't think I can do both. So she did. And we said, well, go ahead. Well, God's got it covered. And he did. Amen? So we're going to the third area of manifesting the kingdom in the earth. And it's different than possessing. We've been in this possessing state for three decades now in the 90s, spiritual warfare. and understanding principalities and powers. And spiritual warfare is possessing the kingdom. We're learning how to pull down strongholds. We're learning how to govern what God's entrusted with us. But that's totally different than manifesting the kingdom. And so he's moving us now, and we're just in the beginning stages of it. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but Isaiah chapter 60 is manifesting. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, because I want to talk about the manifestation of the glory of God. I heard this week, and we sang it, and Prophet Susie heard, a face-to-face encounter. Face-to-face encounter is more than just the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God. I thank God that through the 90s and 2000s, we've experienced knowing the presence of God, knowing and experiencing the anointing. But the anointing is not the same is the manifested presence of God manifesting through you. And so we're moving into a whole new level of the glory of God. And so the glory is connected with the fullness of Jesus. Amen? And so Jesus gave us a pattern. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us, notice what it says, let us create man. The us is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you get baptized, you're getting baptized into Jesus, into the Son, into the Holy Spirit, and into the Father. You have the fullness of the Godhead. So at the beginning, God created man. He says, let's make man in our image and according to our likeness. That was God's original intention with man, to have a family. Let's make man to look like us. In his image and his likeness. That doesn't mean we're going to look just like Jesus. Look around. There's a diversity here. And you are the temple of Holy Spirit. But his likeness and his image has some common things that we're going to agree on. We're going to look the same as he is. And so what the devil came in, he messed this whole thing up. But God had set in pattern a restoration, and now he's saying there is going to be a season that's going to enter into the manifested presence of God. And Jesus gave us, in Matthew chapter 7, he gave us this in verse 1. 6 days later, this is after Jesus met with his disciples, foretold of his death. It says, 6 days later, he took with him Peter, James, and John. And I don't know why his brother, I don't know why he took these three. But the reality is that of the 12, there were three that were part of Jesus' inner court. My own thought of that is these three were willing to give their whole self. Peter left his fishing business. He left his wife. Peter is the only one we know that was married. He left his wife because he had a mother-in-law that he brought Jesus into the house when she was sick, and Jesus healed her. So Peter, James, and John, John's the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. But these three seem to have a deeper hunger. When others departed, when Jesus would pray, it usually would say these three were with him. They would stay with him. Stay close. They weren't, wandering off. They had total attention on Jesus. That's just my personal thinking, why he took them all the time, and they're part of the inner court. So his brother and led them. He led them. Notice, he first calls them by saying, follow me. Jesus never pulls you or makes you follow him. He speaks and he says, follow me, and then you get to choose if you're going to follow. He doesn't tell you where he's gone. He just turned. I can see him when he said, follow me, and he just turned and walked. I don't think he was looking back to see who was following. I think he just kept going. And when he got where he was going, he turned around, and Peter, James, and John were right in his face. Those who follow me, I will make. He didn't give them a title. He says, I'm going to make you. You stay close to me and you'll become like me. So that's staying close and tight. He led them, and so he continues here, he led those three up on a high mountain by themselves. I think that's real important. There's only the three of them and Jesus. And he was transfigured before them. Now that word transfigure is a Greek word metamorpho. And it means not only transfigured, it means transformed. And I'm going to give you some scripture in this. So Jesus, this is before his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension in heaven. This is before he gets his new glorified body. Jesus gives them a glimpse of where he's taken them to be filled with his glory. So he says, I'm going to show you what it looks like. Just give you a little peek preview. You want a peek preview of what he's called you to do and fulfill? And he was transfigured before them. And this is two of the characteristics that happened. And his face shone like the sun. I believe as I show you scripture, face to face, your face will shine like his face. It doesn't say you're going to have his face. His face shine or shone like the sun. Wow, as they gave themselves totally to him, what was it that they experienced? He was transfigured, and the characteristic they noticed above all else was his face shone. They must have been looking at his face. When we engage face to face, we're going to become like him in what we're gazing into. I'll show you just all kinds of scripture. In fact, let's stop there for a minute and think back, because I hear the religious spirit start to stir up. Well, I remember when Moses in Exodus chapter 33 says, Lord, show me your face. And the Lord says, I can't show me my face, because if I show and you see my face, you'll die. In the New Testament, that's exactly what's going to happen when you get face to face. You're going to die. Because in the very next chapter, Moses had face-to-face encounter with him. When he came down, he had to put the veil on him. But the people were afraid to face what he was carrying. So he put the veil on so they wouldn't see the glory. And it says the glory would fade away. But when he went up to meet with the Lord, he took the veil off. Why? Because he had a face-to-face encounter, saw the face of Jesus, came down like what he saw. Read. I'm not going to go there today. Just read. I've been reading this week Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. It's amazing. He says, Moses, you can't see my face. Because if you see my face, no man will see my face and live. So he told him, he said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And my glory, my fullness will walk by you. And after I pass by, you can see the backside of me. In fact, I'll back up. One time he says, I won't show you my glory, but I'll show you my goodness. I believe we've been in a time of him showing his goodness, but it's time to move out of his goodness into his glory. If you haven't enjoyed these times of goodness, you're not going to enjoy the next one. But when you see his glory, you're going to die.
Come on.
To what you thought was glorious. I mean, if that was true, they couldn't see his face, then Peter, James, and John would have died on that mountain of transfiguration, because it says, no man can see my face and live. So something must have happened, and Moses experienced it, and Peter and James and John are up there. So the first thing they do when he's transfigured, his face shone like the sun, and then it says his garments became white as light. What's that mean? White is light. Doesn't say white, just white, because, you know, my mind goes, what's the whitest thing I've ever seen? It doesn't say that. It says white is light. Whoo! You talk about a transparent garment. I mean, the light of the glory of God. So he was transfigured, his face shone, they're looking in his face, but his garments, I mean, he was changed from... He said, this is what you're going to look like. When I come back the second time, I'm coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. And you're going to look just like this because I'm the groom and you're going to be the bride. And you're going to look just like me. So your face is going to shine just like me. And your garments are going to be shining. And then it says in Romans chapter 8, and all the creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the manifestation of the sons of God are looking for you and I. So he says to Peter, James, and John, this is what you're going to look like. And he says, you don't have to wait to go to glory, experience it. I'm experiencing it this side of the cross. I haven't gone through the cross yet, and I'm experiencing it. Because if I can experience as a man, and God manifests in the flesh, you can, as a man manifest, begin to experience the same glory. Because if he couldn't do it, we can't do it. So the church has bought the lie that when I die and get to heaven, I'm going to experience the glory of God. I'm going to see him as he is. No, you're going to see him as he is before in the face-to-face encounters. And you're going to be changed from glory to glory and transformed into his image. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just telling you the scripture that's popping up. I'll tell you what. No wonder the devil is so mad. Because this mystery of Christ in you is the glory of God in you. If you get this mystery right, this has been a mystery for 2,000 years. The devil has covered it up. Yes. Saying we got to wait to get to heaven. Yeah, we have to wait to get to heaven, but we don't have to wait to experience heaven on earth. And manifest the glory of God. So he says to Peter, James, and John, you're following me pretty close. Every time I turn around, you're right there. This week, you know. Every time I turn around, I felt like I was right there with God. Oh, you're there. He says, keep following me. I said, okay, face to face. What's it look like? I turn around. Whoa. Don't you want those kind of encounters? Became white as light, and behold, Moses and Elias appeared to him, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's more than it's just good to be here. You start to encounter this, you won't just want to experience it. I mean, seeing it. You don't want to go and see this on YouTube. You're going to be it. Okay, I won't go there. It's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles. Here Peter goes right into the flesh. If this is really you, I'm going back because all I know is the tabernacle of Moses. Jesus is saying, no, I'm creating a new temple, the temple of Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of Holy Spirit, so it's a new temple. So Jesus dismantles all of Peter's rationalization. He says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So to get confirmation, they saw it, but I mean, they were going, what does all this mean? And so right in the middle of that, a loud voice, I put in the loud in there because I don't believe a soft voice. Hey, listen, guys, this is my Son. You didn't get the transfiguration. You didn't get his face shining and his garments like white as light. You didn't get that. So how about a loud voice from heaven? How about the Father speaking, saying, Son, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Woo! But he didn't stop there because, you know, we're a little slow in the natural. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. He took all religion off, broke all religion. And he says, the only thing that matters is Jesus. Get your eyes on him. We want encounters. Get your eyes on Jesus. He's the encounter that will transform you into his likeness and image. Without Jesus, you're not going to have an encounter. You can do it with religion, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get it just reading your Bible. If that were true, we got people reading their Bibles but not manifesting the glory. I'm not there yet. But I want this face to face because I believe that's part of my mission. My assignment's not done. Make up words when you get going. Done. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except for Jesus alone. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Saw this and left off it last week with the manifestation and the glory of God. In chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech." I'm going to tell you, the word that came this morning was about hope. You lost hope? Where's your hope? Their hope has to be in Jesus, in his word. Change your hope. We use great boldness. When you're in hope, your speech is going to be bold. It's going to even sound arrogant. People will say, "You're just being arrogant." No, there's authority in your voice. Your voice activates the spiritual dimension. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You can believe in your heart, but if you don't confess with your mouth, you don't get saved. And so there's a boldness in your words. And he's telling us it's time we get bold as the body of Christ. We've been pushed and our backs are against the wall. So he's breaking all religious tradition off of us. And when you have a face-to-face, all you see is Jesus. And you're going to be bold as a lion of Judah. Amen. That's what Scripture says. You're not going to be weak. You're going to be bold. Amen. It's time we let our roar out. You know? Woo! Okay. Back here. Verse 13. "And not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away." Okay, that's in Exodus 33 and 34. "But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." In other words, it's taken away out of the law and taken, given place with Jesus. So if you're trying to get salvation through works, that's the law. And it kills. The letter of the law kills. It says up further in chapter 3. But Jesus gives you life. So when you turn to Jesus, that's why we need to be praying for Israel. Their hearts have been hardened all this time, the majority of Israeli people. But it's time now that their hearts be softened. Because if you don't remove the veil, they're still under the law. And with the law of Moses, their hearts get hardened. Okay, that's a different story. Let's go on. "But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Now let me tell you, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. If you spend a lot of time in the mirror, you see all the imperfections. So I just look at the mirror and go, "Ah!" and move on. That's a guy's way of dealing with the mirror. I'll tell you, as long as we're under the law, as long as we're under and in the flesh, every time we're looking in the mirror, all we see is ourselves and all of our imperfections. and we see dimly. Keep your place there and back up a few chapters to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, I love this scripture because this is where we're going. And it's at the end, 1 Corinthians 13, it's at the end of the chapter on love. But it doesn't start with just love. It starts with, ends with this, and this is what he says in verse 10 or 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, and I want to take this down, the perfect that comes is not the scripture. That's what a lot of the portion of the body of Christ will tell you. When the scripture was written, then we don't need the supernatural. The perfect that came and went to the cross was Jesus. He's the only thing that's perfect. So when the perfect comes, notice what it says. When the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. So anything that you don't know will be done away with when you have a manifestation and a revealing of Jesus in your heart. But it didn't stop there. It tells us how we get there. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Saying, up till now, we've seen just, anything, revelation of Jesus is just so minute to the bigness of Jesus. And if you ever settle that you, I just like it here in Jesus, you can settle there. But that's not where he wants you to settle. Because whatever you're looking at right now is so small compared. So he says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then he says, then face to face. Ooh, there's going to be a generation on the earth that's going to experience face-to-face encounters. Not just experience anointings, not just experiencing the presence of God. It's good to experience the presence of God. I love it, but it's nothing like an encounter because an encounter will kill you. And then he tells you what? Well, let's finish this one first. Face-to-face, I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I have been fully known. I love that. I will be known as I know him fully, then I also will be fully known. Yes, he already knows everything about you. So as you get to know him, then you're going to be fully known. You're going to know your identity. You're going to know what you're to do, your assignment, because he's revealing what you're really called to be. Does that make sense? Woo! So a face-to-face encounter, but then I will know fully as I have also been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest is these of love. And how do you get those encounters of love? It's through a face-to-face encounter. You want more love? Have a face-to-face encounter. Now back in 2 Corinthians 3, let's finish. At least this scripture. Woo! Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, say it, we all.
We all.
You know, you're a we all.
We all.
Break off all that tradition. It's all right for the titles and the people up front and so-and-so, they're having revelation. No, if you're in Christ, you're part of the we all. It's not you all, it's we all. Us together, we all, with unveiled face, are being transformed. So together we're being transformed, and that means changed,
yes.
Transfigured. It's the same Greek word metamorpho that it said of Jesus being transfigured before them. Here it says we are being transformed. Every face-to-face encounter, when we look to him, it causes us to be transformed into something that we weren't before.
Amen.
You know, like where you're at, have a face-to-face encounter. Amen? Change what you see. Then he says this, our being. So notice it doesn't happen at one. Just like you go to the mirror every day. Ladies, you put on your makeup at the beginning of the week, and I guarantee that you put it on again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. A guy could get away with that, you know. Comb our hair once, you know. Just wear the same sweatsuit every day. Don't shave. Eventually I hear aren't you going to take a shower? Aren't you going to do something? That's it's a good thing some of us got married. We'd have a ministry out on the streets with a and we'd be good out there. No, I'm just going rambling. Shoot that. Okay, back. Shoot that rabbit. But we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, what are you beholding? Not yourself. The glory of the Lord are being transformed, our being, it's a process, into the image of Jesus. No, it doesn't say the image. It says the same. Ooh. If you do this, you're going to be changed, transformed into the same. Not something different. That word same literally means the same as is. It goes back to Genesis 1. Let us make man. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Not something different. Woo. Well, that's good. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And then verse 16 of chapter 4, it's kind of nice that it's right next to my verse 16 in chapter 3. So I just this morning drew an arrow from 16 chapter 3 to chapter 4. It's like, woo, I get a commentary of chapter 3. And then it says, therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, just as you look in a mirror. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And Romans chapter 8 says these present sufferings don't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed or manifested in us. And for this reason, all creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation or the transformation of the sons of God. I'll tell you. You say, oh yeah, if I was back there with Peter, James, and John, I'd get this. No, you wouldn't. He saved it for you. He wrote in your book before he created you, the beginning of time, that you'd be here to be part of the manifestation of the glory of God manifesting the earth. You were chosen for such a time as this, just as Esther was. And this is not an individual choosing. This is a corporate choosing. We together have been called into this region for such a time as this, because the glory of God needs to manifest in this region. Woo.
You got that right. Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Just thank him right now. Thank him for calling you for such a time as this. We thank you that you called us for such a time as this. That just as you were transfigured before Peter, James, and John, we get to read the scriptures of what we're going to look like as the body of Christ before Jesus returned. And yes, gross darkness is covering the earth, and you prophesied it, and you said people will be darkened. Yes, man, people's minds are being darkened. But you said the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. The same glory that in Isaiah chapter 61, when Jesus quoted it in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The same glory, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus is upon us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling on the inside of us. And so, Father, we thank you that we're living in the great reset of all time. That when you bring us back to the original intent in Genesis chapter 1, Father, you looked down through history and saw us. And Father, we thank you that we are being changed individually, corporately. The Father, we thank you that you're moving in your church throughout this region right now. And we thank you that you're unveiling the mystery that's been hidden, Father, until such a time as this. That mystery is in Colossians chapter 1. Christ in us. Christ in me. That we together have the mind of Christ. We have the fullness of Jesus. It's manifesting, revealing Jesus in us. And now, Father, getting ready to burst out and manifest in the fullness of all that Jesus is. So, Father, I thank you this morning that as we go into the season of Thanksgiving, let it be, Father, not just a season, but let it become, Father, part of our dwelling, that we're so thankful that we're called for such a time as this. We thank you right now, Father, you're inviting us to a face-to-face encounter. Your prophetic word over this house, Father, was that there's a door. The door is shut, but Father, the door is waiting to be opened, and the door is our hearts. And Father, you're inviting us not just to look in the mirror dimly and keep seeing the same old, but when we have a face-to-face encounter, we see Jesus' face shining like the bright, shining sun. And then with that face-to-face encounter, Father, as we look into his eyes, as John saw Jesus and encountered him, he saw his eyes were like flames of fire. And Father, I was thinking as we sang that song about the smoke. The smoke in the old covenant was the glory of God that came down the outside, but the smoke in the New Testament is the fire of God on the inside of every believer. And so, Father, we're saying that we're yielding ourselves to you. You said, Father, there's three areas of transformation. One of them, Father, is in our spirit man. One of them is in our mind. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. So, Father, we have to have a renewing of our mind, a transforming in our thinking. The narratives, Father, that are being thrown out of us through the arguments of everything that's taken place. We can't be conformed to the outward arguments. But, Father, our mind has to be renewed. And then we thank you that you said in Philippians 3:21, you said that then our bodies would be transformed into the same image as Jesus. So we thank you, a transformation of spirit, soul, and body. It starts with our spirit man being made new. And then renewing our minds. And then presenting our bodies. So we thank you right now, Father, for this transformation process, this metamorphosis. That every day when we have a face-to-face encounter, we encounter you and we're changed. So we thank you even right now as we shut our eyes and ask you, teach us, Father, how to just lay aside everything, present our bodies, living sacrifice. Not to put anything on of how it's going to look like, what Jesus looks like. We know in the Spirit, Father, that if our hearts are right and we're looking, we're asking. You said, draw near to you and you would draw close to us. So every time we draw near to you, you draw closer. You draw us closer to you. So I thank you for these encounters right now, this week, that not only will we be carriers of your glory, but I pray around the tables. I see around the tables, Lord, the gatherings. It may only be two of you. It may be just you going to a restaurant. It may be a great gathering, but Father, I thank you around the gatherings. Yes. I thank you that there will be encounters.
Yes, Lord.
That Father, like Father Peter, James, and John encountering Jesus saw his face. Let those around the table see our face.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. That they'll ask questions. What's happened to you?
Yes.
We'll say Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. So, Father, I thank you. We bless you right now. We honor you. Bless our times together, our celebrations. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. We thank you. We thank you. With grateful hearts, Lord. We thank you as we encounter you. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ooh. Oh, yeah. There's no first fruits on Tuesday, but there is prayer on Tuesdays at 12 o'clock. So you'll be gathering at 12, those that are doing that. And you're all welcome to come. It's a great time. I love just walking in there and they're all praying in the Spirit. It's really easy to connect real quick and just enter in and engage. So, amen.
Amen.
So, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we say have happy Thanksgiving. Thank everyone who stayed in their place today and pressed in. God's on the move. Amen. And we're part of his move. You are a revival waiting to happen. I love that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's happening. So step into it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Greet two or three. If you need prayer, we're part of the body of Christ. Let's pray this, though, together. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, just pray this with me. Father, thank you and praise you that you so loved me, that you sent Jesus, that I might meet him and know him, not about him, but I might experience him. So I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. And I invite you into my heart as Lord, as Savior, and as King. I thank you for saving me. And now I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I pray and I ask, fill me, Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, well, greet two or three people. If you need prayer, just ask them to pray for you. You know, there are believers here. We just prayed that. Everyone's a believer. These hands will follow them, believe. So if you come across one of these believers and you need prayer, just pray. Have them pray for you.